I spent some time at Assumptions Seminary in San Antonio, Texas. The Roman Catholic Church had a program at the seminary for priests being assigned to work in Mexico and Central America. Each year, the Navy sent a few chaplains to this course on the faith, customs, and practices within the Latin American church and culture. We would then return to our commands and conduct some sensitivity training for our respective commands. Now, each Friday at the seminary, they would have a fiesta. The cafeteria was shut down for that meal, and the members of the staff would bring their families and food from home for the evening's festivities. The president, the faculty, the kitchen, the custodial staff, those who were students were all to come. Those of us who had no place to make homemade food would bring chips or drinks or something like that to be our contribution. We were all invited to bring something, and all were invited to participate in the entertainment. There would be singing and dancing, reading of poetry, whatever we chose to bring. The first Friday, several of us attempted to pass on the talent portion. We neither thought we could sing nor dance, nor had we brought anything appropriate to read. It was very quickly and clearly made known to us that this was not acceptable. Everyone, from the president of the seminary to the four-year-old son of one of the housekeeping staff, did something to contribute to the entertainment. There was no judgment on the talent that one brought, but everyone was expected to bring something. The question was not, how well can you sing? The question was rather, what will you do with the song that God has put in your heart? That four-year-old I mentioned randomly strummed an old guitar with only three strings, hollering to the words of some song we did not know and to some tune we could not perceive. But when he finished, we all clapped. His mother beamed proudly and hugged him. He smiled, and we all felt a little better. Forrest Gump knew from a very early age that his gifts were, in the eyes of the world, less than those of others around him. Contrary to what his mother had tried to teach him, he knew he was different. In one of the movie's more touching scenes, upon learning that he had a son, Forrest asked his girlfriend Jenny, "Is he smart? You know, or is he like me?" Too often, we come to believe that if we cannot do something perfectly, or at least well, that it is better to do nothing, leaving our song unsung amidst the voices being raised in praise to God for the blessings of the day. In the story of Forrest Gump, by doing what he could with what God had given him, Forrest became an All-American football player, was awarded the Medal of Honor, toured the world as a table tennis player, became a rich shrimp boat captain, and was invited to the White House three different times. In the book, he also became an astronaut, a world-class chess player, and befriended an ape named Sue, with whom he communicated by sign language and with whom he was captured by a tribe of cannibals. If you want to know how that turned out, you got to buy the book, because it's not in the movie. But it would be a huge mistake to think that the wisdom of that simple man from Alabama was dependent upon those noted achievements. That simple wisdom would have been just as profound had it never taken him far from Greenbow, Alabama. That's in the county of Greenbow. Honestly being at peace with yourself, singing your song to the world with unbridled joy, no matter how many strings may be missing from your guitar, and being known by the world for just who and what you are, may be the true secret of happiness and contentment, the description of heaven on earth. Now, people may not always recognize your talents and may not accept you and treat you with the kindness and dignity that all people deserve. But it is far better to be scorned for who we are than to be praised for who we are not, but pretend to be. Because when we hide behind a facade, then we have scorned ourselves. If we believe that we are inadequate and that our song has no beauty, and we hide our light under a basket, then our lives cease to have any real meaning. But when we allow our light, however dim, to shine in the darkness, however vast, the darkness is changed. We may never overcome the darkness, but the darkness, darker the night, the brighter our light will shine. And in any case, overcoming the darkness is not the point. The point is not allowing ourselves to be overcome by the darkness. If we hide in fear, we are overcome by the darkness. And we separate ourselves from one another, and we hide from God, and most tragically, we hide from ourselves. We lose ourselves in the darkness, afraid to come out into the light. I was one of those frightened chaplains who tried to avoid being part of that first fiesta, part of the celebration of life. Being a product of the Midwest, I had not learned to celebrate life the way those had who lived in the culture I was learning. A few years ago, well, more than a few years ago by now, as my granddaughters would say, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I agreed to sing a solo with my church choir. After the service, a retired colleague of mine came up to me and said, "I didn't know you could sing." That, by the way, is still open to debate, but he did notice that. You see, the opposite of light is not a dimly burning light. It is darkness. And the opposite of singing is not singing poorly. It's silence and emptiness. When we do not sing, we are overcome by the emptiness. In the midst of Forrest's difficult days, he took to running. He ran back and forth across the country. In reflecting upon his days of running, he said, "Some mornings, the sunrise was so beautiful that I could not tell where heaven left off and the earth began." For all the pain and loss that Forrest Gump had experienced in his life, he was at peace with himself and at peace with God. When we find acceptance of ourselves and find our place within God's creation, we find the peace of God and begin living God's kingdom right here on earth. And it becomes impossible for us to tell where this earthly realm leaves off and the realm of heaven begins. You have heard it said by those of old, actually I read it on a refrigerator magnet, Sing as though no one were listening. Dance as if no one were watching. But I say to you, sing as though everyone is listening, and dance as though everyone is watching, because that's the point of our lives. Never let it be said, I never knew you could sing. God has placed within each of us a melody, a light to shine in the darkness, and a life to be lived within the community as part of God's creation, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Let us proclaim with Mary, let it be with me according to your word. Let your light, however dim you may think it is, shine in the darkness, however vast it may seem. Because every once in a while, when the rain stops for long enough and the stars come out, it's a beautiful thing. Some years ago, not as many as some of my recollections, there was a cartoon of Hagar the Horrible, who was always one of my favorites. If you don't know the comic strip, it's about a Viking and his crew. And Hagar and one of the members of his crew were standing and looking up at a bright star. And Hagar's companion said, the star brings out the best in people. It's sad that it only comes out at Christmas. To which Hagar replied, no, the star is out all the time. It's sad that people only see it at Christmas. Let your light shine all the time, and the world will be a more beautiful place, and you will be more at peace with God and more at peace with yourself, which makes it impossible to tell where this world leaves off and heaven begins. Amen.